We looped halfway around Boston, and then he told me to strike out south and west on the Mass Pike, and then I-84. We did 60 more miles, which took about an hour. He didn't want me to drive too fast. He didn't want to be conspicuous. Phony plates, a bag full of automatic weapons on the back seat. He didn't want the highway patrol to get involved. I could see the sense in that. I drove like an automaton. I hadn't slept in 40 hours. But I wasn't regretting passing up the chance of a nap in Duffy's motel. I was very happy with the way I had spent my time there, even if she wasn't. "Next exit," he said. Right then, I-84 was spearing straight through the city of Hartford. There was low cloud, and the city lights made it orange. The exit led to a wide road that narrowed after a mile and headed south and east into open country. There was blackness ahead. There were a few closed country stores, bait and tackle, beer on ice, motorcycle parts, and then nothing at all except the dark shape of trees.
"Make the next right," he said, 8 minutes later.
I turned onto a smaller road. The surface was bad, and there were random curves. Darkness everywhere. I had to concentrate. I wasn't looking forward to driving back.
"Keep going."
We did 8 or 9 more miles. I had no idea where we were.
"Okay, pretty soon we should see Duke waiting up ahead."
A mile and a half later, my headlight beams picked out Duke's rear plate. He was parked on the shoulder. His car was canted over where the grade fell away into a ditch.
"Stop behind him."
I pulled up nose to tail with the Lincoln and jammed the selector into park. I wanted to go to sleep. 5 minutes would have made a lot of difference to me. But Duke swung out of his seat as soon as he identified us and hurried around to Beck's window. Beck buzzed the glass down, and Duke squatted and leaned his face inside.
"Their place is about 2 miles ahead. Long curved driveway on the left. Not much more than a dirt path. We can make it about halfway up in the cars if we do it quiet and slow, no lights. We'll have to walk the rest of the way."
Beck said nothing, just buzzed his window up again. Duke went back to his car. It bounced off the shoulder and straightened up. I followed him through the 2 miles. We killed our lights 100 yards short of the driveway and made the turn. Took it slow. There was some moonlight. The Lincoln ahead of me lurched and rolled as it crawled over ruts. The Cadillac did the same thing, out of phase, up where the Lincoln was down, corkscrewing right where the Lincoln was twisting left. We slowed to a crawl, used idle speed to inch us closer. Then Duke's brake lights flared bright, and he stopped dead. I stopped behind him. Beck twisted around in his seat and hauled a sports bag through the gap between us and unzipped it on his knee, handed me one of the MP5Ks from it, with 2 spare 30-round magazines.
"Get the job done."
"You waiting here?"
He nodded. I broke the gun down and checked it, put it back together, and jacked around into the chamber and clicked the safety on. Then I put the spare mags in my pockets very carefully so they wouldn't rattle against the Glock and the PSM, eased myself out of the car, stood and breathed the cold night air. It was a relief. It woke me up. I could smell a lake nearby, and trees, and leaf mold on the ground. I could hear a small waterfall in the distance, and the mufflers on the cars ticking gently as they cooled. There was a gentle breeze in the trees. Other than that, there was nothing to hear, just absolute silence. Duke was waiting for me. I could see tension and impatience in the way he was holding himself. He had done this stuff before. That was clear. He looked exactly like a veteran cop before a major bust. Some degree of routine familiarity mixed in with an acute awareness that no two situations are ever quite alike. He had his stire in his hand with the long 30-round magazine in it. It protruded way down out of the grip, made the gun look bigger and uglier than ever.
"Let's go, asshole," he whispered.
I stayed 5 feet behind him and walked on the opposite side of the driveway, like an infantryman would. I had to be convincing, like I was worried about presenting a grouped target. I knew the place was going to be empty, but he didn't. We walked on around a bend and saw the house in front of us. There was a light burning in a window, on a security timer, probably. Duke slowed and stopped.
"See a door?" he whispered.
I peered into the gloom. saw a small porch, pointed at it.
"You wait at the entrance," I whispered back. "I'll check the lighted window."
He was happy enough to agree to that. We made it to the porch. He stopped there and waited, and I peeled off and looped around toward the window, dropped to the ground and crawled the last 10 feet in the dirt, raised my head at the sill, and peered inside. There was a low wattage bulb burning in a table lamp with a yellow plastic shade. There were battered sofas and armchairs, cold ash from an old fire in the hearth, pine paneling on the walls. No people. I crawled backward until the light spill let Duke see me and held 2 forked fingers below my eyes. Standard sniper spotter visual code for "I see." Then I held my palm out, all my fingers extended. "I see 5 people. Then I went into a complicated series of gestures that might have indicated their disposition and their weaponry. I knew Duke wouldn't understand them. I didn't understand them either. As far as I knew, they were entirely meaningless. I had never been a sniper spotter. But the whole thing looked real good. It looked professional and clandestine and urgent. I crawled back 10 more feet and then stood up and walked quietly back to join him at the door.
"They're out of it," I whispered. "Drunk or stoned. We get a good jump, we'll be home and dry." "Weapons?" "Plenty, but nothing within reach."
I pointed at the porch.
"Looks like there's going to be a short hallway on the other side. Outer door, inner door, then the hallway. You take left, I'll take right. We'll wait there in the hallway. Take them down when they come out of the room to see what the noise is all about."
"You giving the orders now?"
"I did a recon." "Just don't screw up, asshole."
"You either."
"I never do," he said.
"Okay."
"I mean it," he said. "You get in my way, I'll be more than happy to put you down with the rest of them. No hesitation."
"We're on the same side here."
"Are we?"
"I think we're about to find out."
"Relax," I said. He paused, tensed, nodded in the dark.
"I'll hit the outer door, you hit the inner, like leapfrog."
"Okay," I said again. I turned away and smiled, just like a veteran cop. If I hit the inner door, he would leapfrog through it first, and I would go second. And the second guy is the guy who usually gets shot, given normal reaction times from the enemy.
"Safety's off," I whispered.
If I hit the inner door, Duke would leapfrog through it first, and I would go second. And the second guy is the guy who usually gets shot, given normal reaction times from the enemy.
"Safety's off," I whispered.
I clicked the H and K to single round fire, and he clicked the catch on his stire to the right. I nodded, and he nodded, and kicked in the outer door. I was right there on his shoulder and slid past him and kicked in the inner door without breaking stride. He slid past me and jumped left, and I followed him and went right. He was good enough. We made a pretty good team. We were crouched in perfect position even before the shattered doors had stopped swinging on their hinges. He was staring ahead at the entry to the room in front of us. He had the stire in a fixed, two-handed grip, arms straight out, eyes wide open. He was breathing hard, almost panting, getting himself through a long moment of danger the best way he could. I pulled Angel Doll's PSM out of my pocket, held it left-handed, and snicked the safety off, and scrambled across the floor and jammed it in his ear.
"Keep very quiet," I said to him, "and make a choice. I'm going to ask you one question, just one. If you lie, or if you refuse to answer, I'm going to shoot you in the head. You understand?"
He held perfectly still, 5 seconds, 6, 8, 10, stared desperately at the door in front of him.